previously heard on Good Hope FM.
You are a storytelling coach who can help sales teams and also individuals sell with their stories, which is fascinating to me because we've all heard of people who work in sales and people who train people to make sales. But you're a storytelling coach, which is a completely different avenue. And I'd like to delve into how you got into this line of work before we find out what it is that you actually do. How did this start for you? Where did this journey begin?
Well, growing up as a little kid, I was always getting into trouble. And the three sentences that I heard growing up was, why can't you sit still? Why don't you do your homework? Why are you interrupting the whole time? And I found out later on, I have something called ADD, attention deficit disorder.
Right.
And unfortunately for my folks, I put them through hell. And I'm sorry, Mom and Dad. So I grew up, always thought there was something wrong with me, until at the age of about 16, I realized I have a very special gift, and that is to spot stories. I always enjoyed listening to stories growing up. My grandpa told stories about wartime. My dad told stories about him being in the Navy. So I always enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But how that actually morphed is when I started working, I worked in banking for about 7 years before I switched to sales.
Okay.
And from then, I realized I was actually very, very good at it. And then my career took a great turn when I worked for a great company, entrepreneur. And it was there that I realized that this is a great way to sell, because if you can tell it, you can sell it. So okay. Let me give an example. If I had to ask people to tell the story of Three Little Pigs, Little Red Riding Hood, or even Pinocchio, you will all know. But if I had to ask anybody, please recite the last three business presentations you attended.
No one's going to remember. Yeah.
Cricket.
Yeah.
Because it's data without a soul. So when you sell with a story, it makes it sticky. It makes it memorable. It makes it exciting. It makes people leaning to say, Jerry, tell me more.
What happened next? Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, I'm with you. So you were working in a bank, and then how did that morph into sales? How did that morph into storytelling through sales?
Oh, wow. You know, growing up, I wanted to be a stockbroker, so I studied financial management. And while I was working for the banks, I really did not enjoy it.
Okay.
To the point that I was hoping that my car would break down, I don't need to go to work.
Yeah.
But so I quit my job. My parents were very upset. And eventually I found a sales job. But it was during the past 10 years that I realized it just clicked. Because I realized when I was selling and when I was using a story of some business owner, and this is the problem that they're going through, I noticed people lean in. Mm. I noticed people remembered. And I noticed my sales figures went up. It got to the point that I got promoted to be the digital media manager of the company, and I was training some of my staff, teaching them how to sell with a story.
Wow.
You paint people a picture.
Yeah.
And it was actually by accident, because the funny thing is, growing up, I was told to keep quiet and stop talking.
Yeah.
And right now, I get paid for a living. So spot the irony.
Yeah. I love that. I think it's so important to mention as well. We have strengths, and sometimes growing up, they're not always encouraged or nurtured, not through any fault of the parents. They're just trying to get by and do their work.
Absolutely.
And get through
Absolutely.
Their day. But yeah, we do get put into boxes very early on, and it's difficult to break out of those in our adult years, even disappointing your parents and saying, I don't want to work at the bank anymore. And they're probably saying, what are you talking about? It's a stable career. It's a good job. Why would you not want to do that?
That is exactly what they thought. Because
yeah.
They're Asian parents. I don't blame them. That's how they were brought.
I think most parents, to be honest, whether they're Asian or Caucasian, I don't think it matters. I think all parents just want their kids to have a stable job. They want the security for them.
Mm.
Yeah.
And look, you know what? Like, I appreciate my parents for not disowning me for doing that. And look, you know what? I was actually chatting to my fiance today. I'm the forever optimist. I don't give up very easily. And it's because growing up, I always got told by teachers that you can't do it. I'll never forget this. Mm-hmm. When I was in standard nine,
yeah.
And you go through career guidance.
Yes.
And the lady, I'm not going to say her name now, she called my parents in and said, I'm sorry to tell you, but your son, he's not going to have a future. Send him to Technicon, send him to learn a trade, so he can make a living.
Okay.
Like my parents are furious.
Yeah.
Because being Asian parents, they're very, very focused on education.
Okay.
And I'm glad they pushed me through because, I mean, I'm not bragging, but all these years later, I've got a master's degree in marketing.
Yeah.
So if they didn't push me and I didn't push, then I wouldn't have got there.
Yeah.
So don't give up, eh?
Yeah, don't give up. Don't give up.
No.
And yeah, just because one person is willing to put you in a box doesn't mean the rest of the world is either. So if you believe in something enough, go for it. So I love the fact that you said you were working in sales and then your own experience through selling, when you were making up stories to try and sell whatever products you were pushing, you realized this was having an impact on the customers. It was something that they were relating to. Like you said, they were leaning into it. And from there, how did you... So you sort of started training some of the guys in your company because you were doing so well yourself. How did that then transition to you becoming a coach? And now I believe you're freelancing, aren't you? You're going out and working for corporations or for small companies and teaching their either teams or individuals how to sell with their stories.
So it's not so much freelancing. The way I work with clients that believe in solving problems. So how I pick my clients is if somebody says to me they started the business because they want to make money, then I walk away because I like to help people solve problems. I started the company Flying Kite for one simple reason. I really, really, truly, truly 100% believe that business owners in South Africa are the real investors. You invest your money, blood, sweat and tears, and you go all in. So if I can use this to help you sell your stories, to help you achieve your goal, then I have maximized my talent. So just to give you an example of the difference between a sales pitch and a selling with your story.
Yes, please do.
A friend of mine told me this. And so there's a place called Pig Island. You can Google it, Bahamas Pig Island.
I know it. Yes, it looks amazing.
Yes. So... It's pigs swimming in the ocean. They're not supposed to be there. So the story goes, years ago, there was a merchant and he wanted to make bacon out of these little piggies. So he left them by the beach. But the piggies got hungry and they were starving. Eventually, one of the restaurants, they dumped their leftovers into the sea. And it took one brave little piggy to swim and the rest follows. Eventually, all of them start swimming. So that is selling with a story. A sales pitch will be, Jerry, you should buy this photo because it suits your budget, it suits your the color of your room, and you can afford it. You see the difference?
Well, yeah, I mean, one of them was telling me a story about pigs and the other one's trying to sell me something. I don't understand where the sale is in that, though. Like, I understand that there's a cool story about the pigs, but how does that translate to me buying something?
Because price is not even a discussion after that.
Okay, I see.
Because price is what you pay, value is what you get.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you believe in the story, you'll pay for it because it's like, wow, this is so cool. I have to have that piece.
Okay. I want to be a part of this, whatever this is. Okay. I see where you're going with this. We're going to find out a little bit more about how you train people, how you work, what it is that you can teach them. And I think going forward in business in South Africa in particular, a lot of us in very sticky situations right now, not really knowing what the future holds. It would be interesting from a sales point of view, from someone who's thinking about starting something up or how to go about it, to get information from you early on about what the best way to go about that could be. If there's some way to generate more sales for them, they're probably going to be very, very interested. Charles, good to have you on the line. I want to find out more about how you go about training people to do this. It's important to have a story. I understand, like, the importance of having a story, the importance of having something that people can relate to, something that they feel is authentic, can definitely help them buy in. But how do you train people to do that authentically, so that it doesn't sound, you know, we're all getting these calls constantly from someone going, hello, ma'am, how are you? You can hear them reading off a script. And the first thing I want to do is put down the phone. So you're obviously training people to do something slightly different from that. Tell us how you go about that.
So with the storytelling, I came up with a five-part framework. The acronym is STORY. The S stands for simple. The T stands for tangible. The O stands for original. R stands for reliable, and the Y stands for yearning for more.
Ooh.
When you put those pieces together, it spells story. So
yeah.
Simple, meaning that what is the one thing you want people to remember 3 months from now on?
Okay.
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Number two, make it tangible. Don't use abstract ideas. Make it tangible. And then the O stands for out of the box, meaning surprise me. So example will be, if you watch a TV series like CSI, you know how it's going to start and you know how it's going to end.
Right.
But the stories that people rave about are the ones that you don't know what's going to happen. Game of Thrones.
Like Tiger King.
Example.
No, exactly. Tiger King. Have you watched that yet?
I've seen the trailer.
No, you have to watch it. If you like something that's original and out of the box and you don't know how it's going to end, y'all go and watch that. Okay.
Well, there we go. There we go. You just.
I sold you on that one.
Exactly. And the R... our sense for reliable.
Yeah.
How do I get you to trust what I have to say?
Yes.
And the Y stands for yearning for more. How do I create emotion? How do I make you care about what I have to say?
Okay.
So that is the framework that I work with. So to give you an example, let's think of premium brands. If you look at any premium brand, they never ever shout. They never ever speak about price. Look at Ferrari. Look at Louis Vuitton. Look at Nike. Look at the ads. They never mention price.
Okay.
So the question to you is, do you want to know the only one, the number one, or one of them? What? See, that's the you want to be known as the number one in the person's mind.
Right, okay. You want to be known as the top of your game in that, yeah, whatever it is that you're selling. If you're selling sneakers, you want to be at the top of your game. If you're selling luggage, you want to be known as the number one. Yes, of course.
Because the thing is, think about Olympics, and it's a shame that this year we're not going to have it. Everybody remembers number one. Do you remember who came second or third or fourth or fifth?
Yeah, often not. No.
Exactly. So if you're not starting the business to be the number one in your client's mind, then what's the point?
Okay.
But the thing is, that being said, we are all experts in our own minds. So what that means is, it's like food. For me, I like my steak, for example, medium rare, because that's how I like it.
Yeah.
For some people, I know a friend, he likes it well done.
Okay,
and that's
got
okay.
You. Yes.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Okay, so there's many ways to skin a cat, basically, and there's a lot of different people who are looking for different things. So whatever your stance is, the fact that you're not number one doesn't mean you shouldn't begin at all.
Yes, so when you sell with your story, I'm talking about the authentic story as to why you started the business.
Mm.
To give you an example, I work with an ophthalmologist, an eye surgeon, and he was toying around like, you know what, how do I stand out? And I asked him, so when people ask you, what do? What do you say? He said, no, I'm an eye surgeon. I said to him, that's not really wildly exciting. So after working with him, and this will be an example, he came up with the story that is, he believed the gift of sight is given by God. So when the light goes off, when we have ESCOM, we can't see anything. And it's very, very scary. Imagine this is your life every single day.
Yeah.
What I do is help you take care of that so you can see better for the rest of your life. And that is why I became an eye surgeon. Now, isn't that a lot more powerful?
Yes. Yes,
so if
it
you have
is.
An eye problem, who would you want to go to? The guy that just say eye surgeon, or say, I believe the sight is a gift of God.
Yeah, okay. And the guy who's passionate about making sure that you can see for the rest of your life. Definitely. Okay, I see how that works there. Yes, no pun intended with me saying that. But I get what you're saying. Okay, so you can work with all types of individuals doing this as a storytelling coach. You can work with an optometrist. You could work with a personal trainer.
An ophthalmologist.
You could work with anyone, literally. You're teaching them how to tell their story so that they can improve their customer relations and ultimately improve their sales, right?
Pretty much so, as long as somebody started the business to solve a burning problem. So most of the time, if you look at any Airbnb will be a great example. It was started by two guys that they started the business because there was an art exhibition in their town, and all the hotels were sold out. So they're like, wait a minute, we have people coming in. We have a bed available. Why don't we start and help them solve the problem? Mm. And look at them today.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Well, we got loads of problems in South Africa at the moment. We got loads of problems around the world. So everybody had better start thinking and coming up with solutions for them. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because especially in times like this, you will spend more. You're more likely to spend money to solve a problem, meaning your hunger, your thirst, your accommodation, versus spending money on clothes, for example.
Yeah, there's no luxuries
because I'm helping
right
you to solve a problem.
Absolutely, I see.
And the thing
value.
Is, and another thing is, it, and the price is all relevant. For example, if I had to tell my grandfather all those years ago that he will have to pay for water, he'll laugh in my face.
Yeah.
But if you are in the desert, Jerry, and I have a bottle of water and I said to you, it's $1,000, you will buy it.
You'll buy it, yeah.
Because I'm solving your first problem for you right now.
Absolutely. I see exactly where you're going with this. Charles, thank you so much for your time tonight. I find this very, very interesting, very fascinating. A different take on sales and how to go about them. And one that no doubt a lot of your clients have seen benefits from. Charles Schwen, storytelling coach, thank you so much for your time. Looking forward to learning more from you in an individual capacity. Really, I am. And guys, if you like some details, I'm going to post up all of the info on the socials. You can go and have a look at it there. Charles, thank you so much for your time. Tonight, enjoy the rest of your lockdown.
Hey, yo, check it out.
Good Hope FM.
GoodHopeFM.co.za now.